Well, I like to think of myself as a pretty capable, mature, strong guy, but to be honest, sometimes it doesn't take that much to trip me over into feeling overwhelmed. Anyone else easily get overwhelmed? A couple weeks ago, if you were to tell me that there's a new leak in my house from all the storms, overwhelmed. Nope, don't want to deal with that. A new medical bill pops up, overwhelmed. Don't want to deal with that. You finally sit down to finally eat after a long day, and yet you hear the kids screaming and crying and whining in the other room. Someone had better be dying, or so help me. Anyone else yell that across the house? Is that just me? Okay. Why is it that you so easily get tripped over into overwhelm? Why is it that that's such a common thing for many of us that we get tripped into overwhelm? And I think it's because all of us are carrying invisible weights. We're carrying invisible burdens in our life, right? We smile at church, we post an inspirational quote post online, but inside our hands are full of heavy things. And when you're carrying something heavy, it doesn't take much for one new thing to feel heavier, right? Like maybe you're carrying the weight of recognizing that the start of school is less than 2 weeks away. Anyone else carrying that weight? Or maybe you're wishing you could fit in some final summer experiences as a family. Maybe you're gearing up for harvest and you're hoping and worried that prices will hold. When you're carrying something heavy in each hand, all it takes is life handing you something extra and small that all of a sudden now you're juggling too much because you're already carrying this and how am I going to carry this? And so you handle it for a little while and then your hands start to sweat and things start getting pretty slippery and you don't have the energy or focus left for empathy or joy because all your concentration is on the handling of the slippery weights that you're carrying. There's nothing left for curiosity. There's nothing left for dreaming or connection or romance or fun. Because if you drop one of the things you're carrying, well, then you're going to break a toe, and that's going to be a new medical bill that you can stress about. And it goes on and on and on. But for most of us, we keep these burdens invisible. We try not to let other people see the burdens that we're carrying. Maybe that's because we don't want to burden them. We don't want to have them carry our stuff. Maybe it's because we feel ashamed for seeming like we don't have it all together. And so we come to church, we smile, we post inspirational quotes online, and we cope to numb the feelings, right? We drink a little too much, you gamble a little too much, you throw yourself into work a little too much, you fill your calendar with activities a little too much. And in the words of Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? Is it filling your life with peace and joy and contentment and love, or is it leaving you anxious and tired and broke? It seems like no matter who you talk to, most of us would agree that life feels more anxious and stressful now than in previous years. Reputable research firms have confirmed this in the rise of stress and depression and anxiety in the past few years. But when you do a Google search about what does the Bible say about being anxious, you'll probably have a couple Bible verses pop up that say, do not be anxious. And the church, we haven't always been ahead of the curve when it comes to being able to talk about mental health or how God has designed our bodies and our minds and how he offers peace. In fact, one of the critiques of many churches is that it's not a safe place to bring your burdens or your brokenness. And so we keep these burdens invisible. But I think our church has been called by God to be a city on a hill, to be a light in the darkness. I think our church has been called by God to be a safe place where anyone can bring their burdens, bring their brokenness to Jesus, because Jesus is the only true healer who can transform us. Jesus loves to meet us as we are, right where we are. But he also loves us too much to leave us as we are. And he wants to keep inviting us to step into his light, to let him transform us, to become more and more like him. That's what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And whether this is your first Sunday or your 500th Sunday at New Life, you're here because Jesus has called you here. You're here because you need Jesus to continue his work of transformation and healing in your life. You're here because God wants you to work with him. God wants to work through you to reach others with his hope and his love and his grace. And so that's why we're spending this month talking about all the things that we carry that keep us burdened. But we're also going to talk about how prayer is a spiritual habit that God uses and wants to use in your life to bring healing and wholeness to our lives. Because I think that one of the many lies that many of us believe about stress and anxiety is that we think it's bad to have as a Christian, right? Like, we shouldn't have it. Christians aren't anxious, right? They shouldn't be. The Bible tells us not to be, right? Like, is stress a sin? And so we keep our burdens invisible to others. But that's a lie from the enemy to try and force us to keep carrying everything we have alone. Because the truth is that stress isn't a sin. It's a signal. Just like when the check engine light comes on in your car, it doesn't mean that the light is the issue, right? Oh, the check engine light came on my car. Got to go get a new check engine light. The light isn't the issue. The light is a signal that's trying to tell you that something else needs to be looked at, right? The light is a signal telling you that you need to take your car back to the manufacturer so they can diagnose and fix the issue. And so in the same way, stress, anxiety, worry, they aren't the issue. They aren't the sin. They're a signal telling you that you need to turn to your manufacturer. You need to turn back to your maker so that he can diagnose and fix the issue. Because stress isn't a sin. It's a signal that it's time to pray. And prayer is one of the primary spiritual habits that God uses to bring us closer to him so that we can experience healing and growth and purpose and peace. So our main core scripture for this whole series, but the one that we're going to talk about today, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And so please open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. If you're using the black seatback Bible that's in front of you, you can find that on page 154 of the New Testament. You got to flip through a couple hundred, about 500 or 600 pages of the Old Testament. Get to the New Testament, you'll be on page 154. And as you're finding it, I want to remind you that Philippians is a letter. It's a letter written by Paul while he was in prison, and he's writing back to the first church that he helped start in a city called Philippi. And so in this letter of Philippians, Paul encourages this church that experiencing trouble in their life, that's not a sign that God is absent. That's what we feel. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm going through a hard season. Where is God? No. Suffering is something that Jesus went through himself. Part of following Jesus is clinging to him in the midst of trials and hardship. Paul says, he reminds us that your true citizenship, your true loyalty, our true family identity, it's in heaven, and Jesus has secured it for us, and he's proven his power and authority so we can stand firm in our connection to him. And then Paul tells the church to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And then we get to our main passage, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. He starts with, do not be anxious. Do not be stressed. Do not be worried. That sounds like a command to me, right? That's not just a suggestion. This isn't just a good idea to try some time. He's not talking about best practices that we should involve. It's a command. He says, do not be anxious about anything. And then we're like, wait, anything? Like, anything? What about? And then we fill in the blank with whatever we think we should be anxious about, right? What about college debt? What about the fear of the cancer coming back? What about the worries of aging? What about that? And you can put whatever you want in that blank, but it doesn't change the fact that Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And if there's any doubt, he continues with the very next phrase, and in everything. And again, we pause with incredulity. We're like, wait, everything? Like everything, everything? But what about? And then we fill the blanks with the things that we think are exceptions to that again. Shouldn't I be stressed about this? Shouldn't I be anxious about this. I should be at least a little bit worried about this because it's so important. And Paul is making it clear. He says, no, 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 no. Do not be anxious about anything. And that means anything. He's saying, no, I don't want you to worry yourself to death. But in everything, and I mean everything, by prayer and supplication. It's by prayer and supplication. It's not by effort. That's not, we don't will ourselves out of anxiety. It's not by earning. It's not by some performance that we do, but it's by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a word that means asking. By asking God, because it's God's action. It's God's power that is needed. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Because this is not a have to, right? This isn't some drudgery, it's not some chore. I guess I'll ask God. This is a get to. With thanksgiving, we get to have joyful gratitude. Why? Because the all-powerful creator God of the universe actually wants us to come to him in prayer, to draw near to him. I mean, how cool is that? It should fill us with joy and gratitude. So Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now we know that God already knows what our requests are because he knows our hearts better than we know ourselves, but he still invites us into a process. He still invites us to turn to him so that we can experience what it feels like to have our requests be made known to God and then be received by him with love and grace and joy and gladness. That we turn to him and we notice that he's not begrudging us either. I have little kids, and there's some times where I know what they want before they even ask. Any of you that have raised kids, you know this, or if you have a really good friend, you can see the look on your face. You already know what they're going to ask for before they ask it. And I could just do it for them without them asking. But I love to have them ask me. One, it's teaching them to ask. But two, because then I get the chance to show them my smiling face receiving their request. And I have the chance to reinforce, yes. Or wait. But they get to see me receive them with joy and gladness. That's what Paul is saying. We get to turn to God with thanksgiving and realize that he wants us to turn to him. And then Paul continues in verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Right? God's peace doesn't make sense. It's not something that you can figure out. It surpasses understanding. God's peace isn't something that we can reverse engineer. We can't understand it. God's peace is not something that we can hack our way into by any other means. It surpasses our capability to understand. God's peace doesn't make sense, but his peace can settle your fears. And so Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to look at that word guard. We're not talking about passive, right? It's not a passive word. This isn't passive peace that Paul's talking about. Some families would keep the peace by keeping quiet, right? Some of our families would keep the peace. We don't talk about that. This isn't a keeping the peace type of peace. This isn't a sit on the couch and just let things happen type of peace. It's not a whatever man type of peace. This is a peace of God guarding in an active way, guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to talk about hearts and minds. That's our feelings and our thoughts, right? Emotions that feel like they can sway our entire day. And thoughts that sometimes keep coming and coming and coming and they become overwhelming. But Paul wants to drive it home that it's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't guard your hearts and minds in anything less than Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who is the unstoppable, undefeatable, all powerful, creator of the universe, savior of our souls, and friend who delights in having us draw near to him in prayer because he calls us friend. Jesus calls you his friend. That's why we don't have to worry when we turn to him. We don't have to be stressed. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, and I mean anything, but in everything, and that means everything, by prayer and asking with gratitude. Let your requests be made known to God. And you know what happens then? Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I don't know if you see that movement. We have stress as the signal. And oftentimes we try and take care of it ourselves. But Paul's saying prayer is the response to that signal. Prayer. And when we pray, when we turn to God, peace is the result. Peace is what he gives to us. Because anxiety and worry and stress, those aren't sin. Now, God tells us not to live in that way because he knows how it robs from us. But those aren't the actual issue. Those are a signal of a deeper issue. And it's a good idea to take that signal as a reminder that it's time to pray. Because anxiety and worry and stress, they're not a fruit of the Spirit. Those aren't the types of things that we want to grow in our life. I'm not saying, this year I hope I have more stress. No one says that. Those are the types of gifts from God for our full life. Anxiety and stress and worry are a fruit of fear. When fear has a hold of your life, those are the things that grow out of it. And when we're afraid, when we're experiencing fear, what do? We seek out security. We seek out protection. That's what I do when I'm feeling afraid. That's what all of us do. We seek out protection and security. We seek out something to make us feel better, distract us. Something to help take away the anxiety, something to lessen the stress. But if you try and do that yourself, if you manufacture that yourself, if you reach out to some coping mechanism yourself to create that security and protection that we try and create and manufacture, it's never complete. It doesn't lead us to peace. That's why Jesus beckons us in Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Oftentimes when we feel these heavy burdens, we're like, where are you, God? You're so far away. And Jesus is not far off when we're feeling under a heavy burden. He's right next to us, beckoning us, saying, come to me, and I will give you my rest. And anywhere else we look, we can't get it. We can't get rest. We can't get peace from anything else. We can't get it from the world. The world doesn't give us peace. The world gives us comparison and striving and stress and anxiety and control and fear, because the world wants to transform you. The world wants to transform you into a weaker, worried version of yourself. But Jesus gives us peace. Jesus wants to transform you also, and he wants to transform you with his peace. He wants to transform us through prayer, to become more and more like him, more trusting, more confident, more obedient to whatever he calls us to today, because we know that he is in control. Jesus doesn't want you to worry yourself to death. He wants to invite you to pray yourself into his peace. And so as you think about your life right now, do you have peace? Do you feel saturated with just a constant level of peace in your life? Because if not, Jesus wants to give you peace. Now I know we're less than 2 weeks away from school starting up. And we all feel the frenetic pace of fall kickoff, whether or not we're involved as a teacher or have kids in school or not. Families, we feel it, or they're trying to fit those last summer activities while also trying to catch up by getting their kids back into a regular bedtime routine so they can wake up in time for school. Teachers and educators are getting ready to kick off for their new school year, and they're preparing themselves mentally and emotionally for another year with difficult students and maybe some possible conflicts with families or staff. Farmers in our community are gearing up for a busy harvest season, And we're hoping that rains continue, but the storms don't ruin the crops. And that the yield of the harvest is enough, but not too much that it drives prices down. Everyone is kind of feeling the strain of wanting to look forward to the fall and to the fall activities. But we're also worried about the fact that more than half of the year has gone by and we haven't done nearly any of the things we thought we were going to do by this time, right? Like, we're more than halfway through the year and we have completely forgotten our New Year's resolutions. We've completely forgotten the things we made covenants with God back in 21 days of prayer and fasting back in January. We made goals for our finances, our family. We got off the bandwagon with that. We're feeling guilty about not saving up enough, feeling guilty about not taking that vacation we said we wanted to. We're feeling guilty, a little ashamed, a little sad that the year has gotten away from us. But Jesus is telling you now, do not be anxious about anything because you can turn to me in prayer. Jesus doesn't want you to worry yourself to death. He invites you to pray yourself into his peace. And we need to be reminded that Jesus cares about the small details of our lives. Jesus isn't just concerned with when the last time was that you went to church on Sunday. That's not the only thing he cares about. He's not just concerned with the last time that you prayed or read your Bible. That's not the only thing he cares about. He's also concerned about the things that we worry about. I love this quote from Pastor Craig Groeschel, who reminds us that if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Jesus cares about those things in your life because he cares about your life. He wants to invite you into a better plan for your life, his better plan for life, so that you can experience the full and abundant life that you were created for. And so as your pastor, I don't want you to wait any longer from turning to God in prayer. I don't want you to ignore the check engine light for days and days and weeks and months like so many of us often do. I don't want you to ignore the signs while you are carrying heavy burdens. Because Jesus is inviting you to draw near to him in prayer right now. He's offering you a way to pray yourself into his peace right now. He's beckoning you to stop trying to manage and control and worry yourself in all your different parts of life. Instead, he wants you to recognize that he is walking with you right now, each and every day, inviting you into his way of life with every opportunity so that you're not living life alone, but you're joining Jesus in the life that he prepared you for. Don't ignore the signal. Don't wait another day. But what I do want you to do right now, and I mean like with a pen and a scrap of paper near you or the Connect card, you can grab it out. There's a blank spot for that. Right now, or anytime you recognize that signal of stress or worry, I want you to note it and then pray it. Note it and then pray it. Write something down. Write down what's the biggest source of stress or worry for me. And literally, you can do that right now or make a note for yourself to do it later this afternoon. Because if you don't do it right now, you know when you're gonna do it? Good sermon, Pastor. Wonder what's for lunch. It's a signal inviting us to turn to him right now. Note it, write it down, and then pray it. You can write out your prayer. You could speak your prayer out loud. You could whisper your prayer, whatever it is to get you to turn to your God in prayer. Because Jesus isn't waiting for you to get yourself together before you turn to him. He's not waiting you to fix your life before you turn to him. He is asking you to come to him right now. And we're commanded to not be anxious, but to present our requests to God in prayer so that he can replace our worry with his peace. And as we continue to develop prayer as that regular habit, as that daily practice, as that every moment type of thing, we will find that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds, even as you face new stressful situations. And so if you haven't signed up for 21 Days of Prayer yet, I really, really want you to. I really want to encourage you to do it. Because if you haven't developed a daily prayer habit yet, this is gonna help you get one started. And if you have developed a daily prayer, this is gonna help you connect with your whole church family to pray together about the same things at the same times. And we're gonna see Jesus working in our whole church, transforming us together. And with these tools, the next time that you feel stressed, the next time that you feel anxiety, turn to God in prayer. note it, and then pray it. And then we get to experience God's loving presence receive us with joy and gladness. We get to turn and see our loving Father because we, his beloved child, has just turned to him. Isn't that good news? Amen.